one of the things that you really should do for Facebook videos, if you're trying to get views on them, is do something absurd or like just really attention getting in the first 2 or 3 seconds of the video. All right, it's time for another episode of Grow the Dream.
Today, my favorite ad platform.
Some results of some campaigns.
Making fun of Rod.
Direct traffic in Google Analytics. What is it?
Nerd Talk. Urchin Posse. Tracking codes.
All that and more next.
Oftentimes, it's the ones that are successful loved what they did so they could persevere when it got really tough. And the ones that didn't love it, quit.
I learned many great lessons from my father, not the least of which was that you can fail at what you don't want, so you might as well take a chance on doing what you love.
Welcome to the most indispensable show for people doing the hard work of growing your business. It's the marketing podcast by entrepreneurs for entrepreneurs. Welcome to Grow the Dream.
Welcome to episode 35 of
the best part of waking up is grow the dream in your cup, ears, cup.
So cup your ears.
Yeah.
Oh, well, you never know what's coming with Josh's jingles. How are you, man?
I'm good. I did prepare that one.
I like it. I like it a lot. I'm sure Rod would like it too if he were here.
No, Rod would hate it.
Yeah, because he's probably not a Folgers guy.
I'm antagonistic towards the non-existent Rod. I can do that.
So is this one of those cases where, like, if he's not physically in the room, he doesn't exist?
Yeah, he doesn't exist, and we can totally rag on him. And I think this was supposed to come later on the episode, but we got to rag on him because he never posted our new post to Facebook Notes. And we promised our listeners that we would have some data about how Facebook knows, based on the whole native advertising idea.
How does it perform? Because it's actually posted to Facebook as content instead of
an external link.
Yeah, a link from somewhere.
I would think that Facebook would favor that content.
I think you may be right about that. I mean, we've certainly seen it with video.
Yeah,
we know that Facebook native video does better than anything else because Facebook wants to show their own stuff. So I don't know. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah, I know.
And we'll have to rag on it, but I just want to mention that if Rod doesn't exist because he's not in the room, then that means I don't exist either. Because we're not in the same room.
You had to get all existential on me. I don't know. I don't know. You exist because I can hear you right now, and if I were to say something bad to you, you'd be able to refute it. So, hey, let's talk about the brew. I mean, before we get ahead of ourselves and get all useful.
Yeah.
What are you drinking?
Melita. I am in the basement at my mother-in-law and father-in-law's place in the mountains, deep nestled in the, well, they call them mountains. I don't call them mountains, but it's the foothills of Georgia.
I like how specific you're being because you realize nobody's going to come find you in the foothills of Georgia.
No, it's true. No, you'd have to make quite the voyage to get where I am right now. But I'm here in the basement, and Melita, this is what is in the drip coffee maker here.
You know, that is the best part about what we do. I could go to Alaska right now and still be just as useful, just as potent in my usefulness in the world, as long as I have an internet connection.
It's true.
A good one, preferably. So.
Yeah, and I would be even more potent if the coffee were more potent, but I'm not going to complain because it's actually for store-bought, pre-ground, ready-to-brew stuff. It's not terrible.
I just realized that I sang the Folgers theme song, which is the epitome of bad coffee.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
At least we're not drinking Folgers or Maxwell House. I mean, that would be bad.
Yeah. Well,
how about you? What are you drinking?
I'm not drinking anything at the moment because I already had 3 cups this morning. I've started early today. There's this book called Breakfast with Fred, and I'm doing it with a couple friends of mine. We just go through a chapter. It's like 52 chapters, but they're so tiny. And you just sit down and you discuss, kind of like a mastermind group, as you would hear in a lot of podcasts. We aren't calling it that. We're just calling it group of friends reading a book.
So Breakfast with Fred is this, see, what's funny is that I'm my daughter, we homeschool.
Yeah.
My area that I'm responsible for, because my wife really does bear the major load.
Uh-huh.
But my area of responsibility is math, and we are doing something called the Life of Fred.
Oh, really?
For math, yeah.
I'm sure it's not the same Fred.
No, no, I'm convinced it isn't, but it just cracks me up because when you say breakfast with Fred,
you think of Fred.
Yeah, that's what we do every day. We have breakfast and then we have the
literally the title of this book is Breakfast with Fred.
Okay, but this is a very famous Fred, right? This is an important guy.
Well, I don't actually even know his last name, to be honest.
Smith.
But
his name is Fred Smith, yeah.
Oh, so you're familiar with him. Okay, apparently he was the leader mentor to like Zig Ziglar and John Maxwell, some of these guys. It lists a bunch of others, but those are the two most noteworthy. And so I figured, you know, why not make him my mentor? So
yeah, absolutely. Well, that sounds really cool. I have not read the book, but I remember hearing Zig talk about Fred Smith and the impact that he had. So I'm interested. I want to get into this book. I'm glad you're mentioning it.
And speaking of Zig, shout out to the Zig Ziglar podcast. I know we had Tom Ziglar on here way back in episode, I don't remember, like five
it was
or six,
a while ago.
Seven, super, super early on in our journey. But it's a great show. They're kind of starting to ramp up momentum on that. So
yeah, you know, I used to listen to the Ziglar podcast years ago, but I understand
from what you
told me that they've kind of reformatted it here.
Oh, right? Yeah. Apparently, they're like 300-something episodes into it, but they let it sit for a couple of years. They're 48 episodes into their new revitalized version of the podcast. So, I have actually been listening to it lately. So,
oh, well, that's really cool.
It's
he was
on my list.
Episode 6. We had Tom Ziglar on episode 6. And I understand that the filming has begun for the Zig Ziglar documentary. I forget what they called the show or the movie that they were filming.
I have no idea.
Yeah, but anyway, they are filming it, so I'm kind of excited. The Zig documentary, I think it was.
That's pretty cool.
That was its name.
So how are you doing, David? What is going on? What are you working on for clients? What's new this week? I know you're not around.
Yeah, new so this new. Week. You know, I'm in the mountains this week, so we're up here, and I've been, you know, I've certainly been working. I don't want to sound like, you know, it's not been a vacation trip exactly, I've gotten focused on mostly the stuff like we talked about last week. You remember last week's conversation? We talked about native advertising and ways to get around ad blockers. And although I'm not working on native advertising per se, all of our clients are stepping up their content. So most of what I'm doing right now revolves around content. So this week, for example,
buy-in for content specifically.
I'm sorry, I missed what you said.
Buy-in for content specifically. I know that's something you're working on.
A lot of my clients, we're working on increasing their own internal buy-in. But like one of our clients, a couple of our clients in particular, they already are in. Man, I had a meeting or two after inbound and kind of shared that download. And they're like all in. So this week, I don't know, we produced quite a bit of content for one client in particular, the Tongue Brush project that, you know, we've mentioned here before.
That's hilarious. I was just talking about the Tongue Brush project with somebody else this morning.
Oh, you were?
Yeah, unrelated. I made the connection to you. But
was it someone who had bad breath and you were just at breakfast?
No, somebody who knows the owner of the Tongue Brush company.
Oh, okay, all right, yeah.
Whose wife also does the accounting for the Tongue Brush. So anyway.
You were talking to Adam.
Yeah.
Small world.
Very small.
Yeah, so we've done some... this past week, I can't believe we didn't talk about this on the Grow the Dream show.
Okay.
We had National Coffee Day. Last Tuesday, and then last Thursday was International Coffee Day.
And last Wednesday was Podcast Day.
Oh, yeah, it was. So, like, a whole bunch of... I wish we had thought about those ahead of time, because we could have talked about them on last week's show.
I literally didn't know about them until everybody started tweeting about them. Oh. So, yeah.
Well, National Coffee Day was kind of on my radar, so, and that's a big one for Tongue Brush.
It should
because,
be.
Yeah, we talk about how that, you know... There are very few beverages in the world that have a bad breath named after them. But coffee is one of them.
That's a good point.
Yeah, isn't it?
Which is worse, though? Coffee breath or morning breath? That's a question for our listeners. You'll have to let us know. What's the worst breath?
That's right. Yeah, you let us know. Is it morning or coffee? Which is the worst breath?
Yeah, we'll deliberate on that and discuss at a future time. So native advertising and content buy-in. So everybody's on board with this stuff, you're saying?
Yeah, I mean, not so much native advertising. I mean, that's an area that Rod, I know, is doing a lot of work on. And Rod has the chops, man. You know, if you've read any of the posts that he's written, the articles that he's written about our last couple of episodes here.
all you'll know is that you're at the end of the article before you know it. Like, wait.
Right, yeah, he sucks you in, doesn't he?
Oh, yeah, you don't, you're like, yeah, I don't know how to write like that. I need to.
I know, he's got skills, and I know we're supposed to make fun of him and rag on him when he's
not
here.
Well, we really should. He's got skills in the writing arena, not so much in the speaking arena. I feel like that's where he's lacking.
Oh, no, he did not.
Love you, Rod.
Well, he's not here to defend himself.
No, he's not, so tough luck.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so what's happening in your world this week?
We are having some success with Facebook advertising, and
cool.
I feel like we should talk about it. So,
okay.
Because
yeah,
I like to brag. So not all of my clients are getting this good results. So if you're a client listening and you're like, well, gosh, dang it, Josh, why can't you get these results for me? This is an outlier. And I think it has to do with the fact that the ad has women, pictures of women in it.
Okay. What kind of stuff are you advertising?
No,
there?
It's just that normally when we would do an advertisement for this, it wouldn't be women. So it's female founders. It's for the pitch,
the other
podcast. So, okay, if you remember, we talking about last week all the traffic we were getting for this podcast for founders list, this epic list that is being shared around the web. And
yeah, where you created like a whole list of podcasts and included your own in the list and then shared it.
So luckily, I've had both the Twitter and the Facebook pixel, tracking pixel on my site. So all of those visitors who have checked out that post are interested in startups for or podcasts for startups, right?
Okay.
Well, I am a podcast for startups. So
of course you are, yeah.
When we're struggling to get traction on our Facebook page because most people interested in this niche and on podcasts in particular are big on Twitter, not necessarily on Facebook. So we're getting good traction on Twitter organically, but we're really struggling with Facebook and trying to figure out our strategy for that. So one of the things that we do when we post a new episode is we try to create a little bit of hype on that. We do like very little paid out, like literally I'm spending $8 to boost this post. So very, very minimal, but it's just kind of, you know, feed the beast, pay Facebook. Otherwise they don't show your stuff to anybody. Right. So anyway, we've been doing it. It's a super recent post. We're only going to promote it for a couple of days. That's why the budget's so small. So it's literally $4 a day, but we have a 6% click-through rate right now, and we're paying 10 cents per click. Which is really, really, really tiny. And the reason why is we use that the targeting metric, that audience that I set out for to target this to is people who have visited and have that tracking code on our site, if that makes sense. So
there are people who've already visited your site.
Yeah. So it sounds like it's kind of remarketing, but I'm just
using a
current post to remarket. So it's not going to feel like remarketing. It just looks like a regular sponsored post.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. So you're taking, you created a custom audience in Facebook?
Yeah, I created a
using
custom
the pixel?
Using the pixel on the power editor and then promoted the post to that. I've never had a 6% click-through rate on anything yet. So I'm really excited about that.
So this is a great application of something that's more or less what Larry Kim was talking about, which is just hyper relevance.
Yes, which I haven't been able to find the relevance score yet in Facebook.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't gone down that rabbit hole.
It is a pain to get to it. I like this concept though, because this reminds me of something that we're having this conversation again, you know, about buy-in with our clients in terms of content. And the beauty of that particular methodology that you're talking about right now is that you can set a pixel with Facebook and then target not just people who've been to your site already, but you can actually target people who have been to a specific page on the site. So, for example, this would be a way that you could really, really do your follow-up with people. We talk a lot about email marketing and how you can do, you know, autoresponder sequences and automated follow-up with people that way. But you can do the exact same kind of thing here. So let's say you put a free download on your site, and maybe people don't even opt in. In other words, you're not necessarily putting it behind a gate. You're not asking for an email address.
Yeah.
But you just put the download on a specific page on your site. You can then start dripping to those people on Facebook because they visited the site where your download is. And so you could use an automated drip, more or less, if you want to think of it that way.
But specific content to that download.
Exactly. Yeah.
Because you know they're interested in that content.
And it would be hyper relevant. Yeah. And you can certainly do your branding work and all of that sort of stuff that way.
Very interesting. But, I had to make my audience bigger because even with all of that traffic from that post, the Pixel still didn't have enough. I think it was too specific. You know, if you look at the bar when you're setting up an ad. So what I did is I created a lookalike audience, and that pulled in 2 million people, which I'm curious. I kind of just saw the feature there and activated it, but I don't know or understand much about lookalike audiences. Do you have much experience? Do you understand how that works?
Exactly? The basics are that Facebook looks at the people that are in your audience. So in this case, the people that visited your site. And it looks for everything they have in common. So it looks at gender, it looks at age, location, it looks at likes, what they've liked on Facebook, what their interests are, and so forth. And it finds other people that sort of match the similar profile.
Beautiful.
And then it will allow you to show your ad to those people too.
Yeah. So I use the custom audience created from the Pixel for the last 30 days of people who have visited my site, and I created a lookalike audience for that.
Fantastic.
So that's what it's pulling from. And about 2 million people in the U.S. is what it's targeting. So
that's cool. And this is the post that has the interior designers. Is that what they do? Are they designers? How does that work?
Correct. It's a website that you can – it's called Havenly. And you can go on and for a flat fee, like $200 a room, you get – they'll design the room for you. You send in like the pictures of the room, you upload, like if you do Pinterest and you have like collections of your style, you upload your Pinterest boards, and then a designer will take your tastes and likes, match that with the pictures of the room, and then suggest the stuff that you can buy to decorate that room with. I don't know if they've sent you images or anything. Anyway, it's a startup, so it's right up our alley. They're raising funding out in California. But if you want to try it out, we actually have a coupon code from The Pitch, The Pitch, no spaces, all caps, if you want to have 20% off Havenly. But that's not sponsored or anything. That's just
that's cool.
A bonus for you. So
that's cool. All right. Well, that's cool. I haven't listened to this episode yet, and so I'm fascinated to hear how that goes. But I thought the imagery was good. I mean, obviously, like you mentioned, there are faces in the images, which that makes a big difference in and of itself.
Sure.
We find if we post images that have faces of people in them, then those will do better than images that don't, of course.
Right.
But
well,
also,
you
got to
think,
like,
it's called Facebook, so.
Yeah, well, there's that. But it's also that their design work is nice. You know what I mean? So I could see where this is kind of very Pinterest-y. Like, these images would do well on Pinterest.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, cool.
And believe it or not, I'm really, really excited about, so Facebook advertising, I'm starting to see how it works, why it works. I'm starting to get excited about it because now we've done this for several clients, and this is actually working for me. And now looking at the Instagram ad platform and knowing the engagement is just so much higher there. And obviously, you have to play your cards right. You can't go into Instagram with the same strategy. But if you're listening and you're thinking about doing Instagram advertising, reach out to me. I want to help with that because I want to help understand as many Instagram campaigns as possible and what's working. I'd love to actually work with you on that. I'm just putting it out there because I'm going to start doing it for some of the stuff I'm working on, and I'm really, really excited about it. I believe it's a big, well, I mean, everybody's on Instagram. The attention, whatever they call that thing. The attention is on Instagram, and it's kind of fading from Facebook. So I want to make sure that I'm putting enough effort in that. So,
yeah, I mean, I think that there's a long-term trend there. I mean, I think it's early to say that Facebook is not still the top platform. But
well, and Instagram is owned by Facebook. So it's a long time before they'll be irrelevant in any way.
$10 billion, was that what it was that they spent?
That sounds right. I don't remember.
It was a lot.
Ridiculous amount.
Yeah.
But
it was a lot. Well, that's cool. So I'll be interested to see how much traffic you get back to your site.
From Instagram?
Not just from Instagram, but, you know, traffic that you can trace back to the ad, right? So, like, I always try to do, I know you're getting data from Facebook about clicks, right? So you get your click-through reports and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
I always try to match it up on the other end in analytics. to see, did I actually get the visits that Facebook is charging me
for? I haven't done that yet, so I'll have to take a look.
Yeah, that's always an interesting thing. And then, of course, to pay attention to what those people do. Because then, of course, you know, if you really wanted to go nuts with the retargeting and follow those people around, stalk them on the web, you could retarget them on Google.
You know, that's just something I've kind of wanted to stay away from for now.
Yeah, right, I know. It does seem kind of like, I think people still think it's creeper-ish. Like, what is that?
Yeah.
When they're stalked.
I think there's one client that I'm working with that I do that with, but pretty sparingly. So.
Yeah. Yep. It is. We're doing some remarketing as well with some clients, but it's I don't know. I don't have a big win out of it yet that I can say, okay, this was a really great idea.
Yeah. Well, people that normally support remarketing go pretty crazy about it. So I guess I'm not quite there yet, but I'm seeing, well, as you can tell, I'm a little bit excited about this. So
yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, that'll be fun.
See where that goes.
That will definitely be fun. Cool. So speaking of analytics, So it seemed like you had something popping up in analytics that you wanted to talk about.
Okay. Well, this post, going back to this post that's you know, getting shared a bunch. So this isn't, there's like zero, still like zero organic traffic coming. So this is not the long term, like this post in some way has gone viral and is being shared by lots of email newsletters are sharing it. Most of the traffic to it is now from email newsletters. It started with Reddit and then got featured in a prominent startup newsletter, and now is being shared across other people's newsletters. We're getting linked to, you know, I think there's probably 10 or so maybe links out on the web on the internet linking back to this page. But most of the traffic to this page is now direct. So
when you're looking in Google Analytics, and if you're listening and you've not spent a lot of time in Google Analytics, Google Analytics will show you under acquisition,
the different
how
channels.
You're acquiring your visitors, and it'll break it down into channels. So organic, when we say organic, we're talking about Google search, although there are other search.
Yeah, majority is Google.
Yeah, so there's organic, and then you're seeing email as a separate channel.
Yes.
And then you're seeing direct.
Yeah. And I know that maybe some of that direct traffic is actually email that didn't have UTM tracking codes on it.
Well, actually, it's a little bit even simpler than that.
Okay.
So direct, historically, up until just a few years ago, when smartphones came along, some of this changed. But several years ago, direct traffic meant really one of two things. It meant that someone typed in your domain name, right? Uh-huh. So like, you know, they knew to go to thepitch.vc and boom, there they were. And that was direct.
Or girlthedream.com.
Yeah, exactly.
Slash show.
So there's that. The other type was email. But keep in mind that for a long time, most people were using Outlook and other email clients on their PCs, their desktop machines, or their laptops.
Right.
And that was where we had a lot of our interaction with email. And so if an email newsletter did go out, when people clicked on a link in an email, because the click wasn't from a browser,
yeah,
then it looked to your website.
Like you just typed in that URL.
Yeah, it looks like type in traffic. And so it's considered direct because there's no referrer data.
Yeah.
You and I are aware that we can add UTM link, you know, information. We can build URLs that feed data back to Google Analytics.
Right. And MailChimp and other service providers automatically add those if you check a box. So it's not.
That's correct.
It's not something you actually manually have to do.
Not anymore, but you used to. There's a separate piece of information that comes with every incoming visit, and it's called referrer data.
Yeah.
And it's not in the URL. It's just within the browser itself. And your browser is actually reporting when any of us visit a website, your browser is reporting where you came from. Did you click on a link? And if so, from what site?
Right.
So Yahoo Mail, Gmail, Hotmail, and all of the other web clients will look like referrers instead of direct.
Yeah. And occasionally you'll see a referrer that says mail.google, for example,
exactly,
which should go under email. I don't understand why analytics.
Well, it depends on the nature of the email that went out. So if the only way that Google Analytics can can say, hey, this is email traffic,
uh-huh,
is if there is something in the UTM, like if you do have campaign information in the URL, so you have some UTM stuff in the links.
Okay.
Otherwise, it's going to look at that as refer traffic coming from Gmail or Yahoo Mail or wherever it is.
Okay.
So, yeah. So, and then that was the olden days. So, right, there were only two sources. You could type it in or you could send people emails, and pretty much that was the extent.
The olden days.
All intents and purposes, that was the extent of direct traffic. Today, though, we have another third source that is a major source of direct traffic.
Apps?
That's right. Mobile apps. And it's the same reason, because those are not the browser on the device, right? So they didn't click on a link in the browser. They clicked on a link in, let's say, Instagram, the app, or in Facebook, the app.
Well, doesn't Facebook, the app, show as a refer domain from m.facebook.com,
mobile.facebook? No, m.facebook.com is actually people browsing Facebook from the mobile browser.
Really? So when people use the Facebook app and click on a link, it does not show up as referral traffic. It shows up as direct traffic in analytics.
That's correct, because your mobile device can't bring referrer information into your browser from apps.
Holy smoke, that's a huge issue.
Yeah, well, I mean, one of the joys of trying to figure out what's working, right?
Analytics is becoming less and less useful. Because they used to give you search result data, so you knew what keywords people were coming in. They don't give you that. It's all...
Yeah, what are you down to? Like, I'm seeing like 92%, I think, is pretty much the average right now of our keyword data is not provided.
Yeah, well, the only keyword data I'm getting now is out of Webmaster Tools, which is now called Search Console. Okay, I'm still not used to that.
I mean, it's still at google.com/webmaster.
Yeah, so I always connect tools. Analytics to Webmaster Tools, get that connect there. That shows some additional data, but it's not data tied to specific visitors. Google's just saying, in general, your site is showing up for these terms.
Right.
Okay. So we're getting less and less. Wow. So there needs to be an analytics platform that's launched by the iOS, so like by Apple. Or something that runs on their platform that they can share. Would that ever happen?
No, I don't think it's possible. Here's why. I mean, keep in mind that analytics for your website has to be based on usually JavaScript or something else that loads in the browser itself. So the only reason we can track a visit to the pitch.vc, let's say, is because when a visitor's browser loads up that page, they trigger a little script that says, I'm here.
Yeah.
And I loaded this page or that page or whatever. And it follows them around and it says, okay, hey, this person's here. Well, that trigger has to be something that occurs within the browser itself. So we're actually looking at a sandbox that we can't really change. We can't get data from outside the sandbox into the sandbox.
Can I just pause and say we are getting so nerdy. Rod would just be... rolling over in his grave.
He's not in a grave. I mean,
okay, yeah, that's...
I mean, his daughter's getting married, for crying out loud. I mean, I mean, I think it's...
Forget
an
I said
thing,
that. Okay, yeah, moving on.
Yeah, so Rod, you can harass Josh about that, because I know you're going to listen to the show. But anyway, yeah, I'm sure it's nerdy, but I'm trying to make it simple, all right? I mean, it's like I've got to... The only thing I can tell the browser is stuff that happens inside the browser.
Yeah.
And the only way that we have right now to get around that is to encode links like you're talking about by adding the UTM data so you can add campaign and medium and all that other stuff.
So what you're saying is that Facebook doesn't give a shit.
Not only does Facebook not care, they keep in mind, they want you... Facebook's goal is to take over the web. They want to replace the World Wide Web.
So they aren't even going to... They're going to be the last people, or they're never going to add UTM tracking codes to URLs automatically, which would be a piece of cake for them to do.
No, I don't think they will. I mean, they do it for their ad platform because they want you to continue to spend money on ads. And you can always do it. Like, you know, this is one of the things that we'll do.
You can do that on the app. Like, where's the button to do that?
It's in the URL section where when you're placing your ad, when you're getting ready to Okay, you know, so I need to add itself.
I need to be using the Power Editor to create posts, because what I'm doing currently is going to my page, just the regular page admin, and creating posts, and then going into the Power Editor and promoting those posts after. So you're saying I need to create those posts originally in Power Editor to get.
Well, you don't have to. No, I mean, the main thing is that the URL is what you want it to be, right? So when you paste the URL and you copy the URL from the pitch.vc or wherever the website is,
but
and
then
you paste
it
into Facebook and say, here's the post I want to share, right?
Right.
Before you paste it in there, go put it in a text editor and add the UTM information that you want out to the end of the URL.
Okay. And then, for our listeners, if you just Google UTM URL creator, there are some things out there that will do this for you.
In fact, Google has a tool. I think it shows up if you do UTM link builder or something like that.
Yeah,
like
maybe that's what I'm referring to. I don't know.
Yeah, no, they have
before.
One. I mean, there are others out there too. But it's just and UTM, I don't even remember what UTM stands for, to be honest with you. It's a
unique tracking measurement
mechanism. I have no idea what it is. But yeah, you paste in the original URL that you want, and then you add things like campaign source.
Okay.
You know, like the website, and then the medium, is it email, is it an ad, what is it, you know, that sort of stuff. And then you can put in a campaign name and add some other things in there too. Like one of the classical examples was that you would use this for AdWords, and you would say, although AdWords does this for you, but if you were building ads, you would say you would put in the search term, and so that you would know which keywords you were paying for.
Yes.
Visits on. But you can do the same exact kind of thing. And so you can do this with organic content on Facebook. So you could create a URL just for organic purposes.
Okay.
Or if you know that you're creating an ad with it, you can do something special in the URL there. But the other thing is, you can take a post that's already been created, and even if it doesn't have any UTM campaign information on it, and at the point where you're creating the ad in the Power Editor, there's a place for URL. I forget what they don't is where you append information to the URL. That's not the word that it uses in there. But there's a place to literally add on stuff to the URL at the moment where you're creating the ad, and it'll let you add the stuff right there.
Okay. All
right.
This was a good rabbit hole.
I hope so.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what our listeners think, whether they like this type of content or not.
Yeah, you'll
have to let us know.
I think so too. Hey, so speaking of that, you mentioned like having a nice result from Facebook ads this week.
Yeah.
So the tongue brush, because we did National Coffee Day, right? We actually shot this video like 4 or 5 months ago, and it's all about why coffee gives you bad breath, and. So it wasn't really created for National Coffee Day, but it was a video that we had produced, but we just had never published it yet. And so on Monday, so the day before National Coffee Day in the U.S., we published it late at night, and we decided immediately we're gonna promote it, and we put the National Coffee Day hashtag in it, which I think helped. But then we created an ad that was using the video views goal. So you know how...
So this was natively uploaded. This was not a... I mean, it was, I'm sure it was uploaded to YouTube as well, but you put it on Facebook as its own video that you uploaded separate.
Good point. Yeah, because the Facebook video... I'm sorry, the YouTube video that we did, we did exactly that. Same thing.
So this is back to the
like
native,
no views.
Native content.
Yeah. So we created, and I also wrote a 1,300-word blog post on why coffee gives you bad breath. Right.
All right.
Okay. So we did both things, and
I don't imagine that went viral. The post, the video, maybe.
The blog post has not done much yet, but here's what'll happen:
creative content.
Yeah. Exactly. Over time, it'll grow because that's good. Google juice right there.
You should turn it into a slideshare. I'm hearing more and more people talking about how slideshare stuff is ranking in Google and sending organic traffic.
I need to do that. I need to do that. Okay.
So
remind me, if I don't do that, you got to remind me to do that, because you've said that before.
Yeah. As well as Rod, who's listening, to post your stuff to Facebook Notes, Rod. We want to use it as case studies.
Yeah, but we don't get analytics on that. But that's okay. So here's the good news. Okay, so we created an ad, and we said we wanted to drive video views, which mm-hmm. that can be one of the goals. I mean, one of your goals on Facebook could be engagement. One of them could be, you know, website clicks or whatever. Normally, I live in the website clicks zone.
Yep.
Because that's really what I'm interested in, is I want to get people out of Facebook and out onto the site.
Which is the opposite of what Facebook really wants you to do, and that's why they make it pay for it.
That's why, yeah, it's exactly why they make us pay for it, because they want to keep the visitors there. But but in any case, so we created this thing, and it launched. This video, although the view count on the video isn't incredibly high, the reach is 31,000 people. It's actually 30,000 right now as I'm looking at it. It's 30,700 people.
How much of that is organic, and how much of that is paid?
Okay, so here's the kicker. The post has organic reach of 26,000 people, and the paid reach is 4,600 or almost 4,700 people.
Nice. But guarantee you would not have that 26,000 of organic had you not paid for the 4,000.
Exactly. And that is the point. We spent $57.29 to reach 31,000 people.
That is so cheap.
Yeah. I mean, when you break it down that way, I mean, the reach is insane. And then, I mean, the Facebook page for the Tongue Brush Project has like almost 5,000 likes on it. It's not a big number.
Yeah.
It's not, especially for a national brand that's been, you know, the product's been sold at all sorts of retailers and, you know, Walmart and all those places. So
it's great. We're struggling with 240 on our for the pitch, for example.
Oh, well, I mean, you know, the Grow the Dream show has like 200 likes, or not even that, you know. So it's not, you know, but again, those the like metric is one of those that's like, it's kind of a vanity metric at this point anyway, because like we're talking about right now, the real kicker is you're going to have to pay to play, you know, to get reach. But you don't have to pay a lot, and I think that's the point. Yeah. Like we got just shy of 2,000 video views for that, $57. So people watched the video 2,000 times, but we reached 31,000 people nearly with that post. And it's only $57. So, I mean, that's cheap for what we're trying to accomplish. Now, some of our other video campaigns, like with the chimpanzee and stuff, the view count on the video was a lot higher. So this one didn't get watched as much.
Mm-hmm.
And I have some thoughts about that. Like one of the things we're trying to do, which we did not do in this video, there's literally only one camera angle in this video. So it's you know, the average cut in Hollywood right now is down to like 4 seconds, I think.
Wow. Before it changes.
Yeah, every 4 seconds they change the camera angle. So we really should be using more camera angles. But one of the things that you really should do for Facebook videos, if you're trying to get views on them, is do something absurd or like just really attention getting in the first 2 or 3 seconds of the video, because that will drive views. Because, you know, people scroll. And the autoplay feature happens,
yeah.
And that's when they stop and play. And Facebook breaks down your video views based on 10-second views mm-hmm. and 30-second views.
You should start every single one of your videos with a cat. Because people love cats.
That's true.
And then you just go straight to what you're talking about. And
yeah, exactly.
Be like, why was there a cat? And then they'll spend the rest of the video wondering, are they going to tie back into the cat? But that's okay.
Yeah, totally. And if you never do get back to the cat, well then it is okay.
Hey, if it sounds like clickbait, but cat bait.
It's clickbait. That's funny.
I know.
And there is the name of today's show, cat bait.
Cat bait. We'll see.
Yeah,
we'll see.
So anyway, that was a fun campaign. And again, I just like testing this stuff and being able to talk about it on the show because, you know, I mean, that's not why we're testing. We're testing it to get drive results for clients. But by the way, those we saw a direct correlation in Amazon sales and website sales that day. So we're pretty excited about that.
Beautiful. Did your direct traffic go up? People typing in your
You know, I've got to look at that. We didn't. This is one of the videos where we did not put a link in it, you know, because we were trying to say this is informative mm-hmm. instead of salesy.
So should our listeners, if they go in and they see an increase in direct traffic over time, does that correlate to an increase in brand awareness? I would think that those two metrics should be correlated.
Well, I'll give you an example of a case where that is true. We have clients that do a lot of offline advertising, so like radio and television. And when we see spikes in direct traffic, we can usually also correlate them to spikes in brand search traffic on Google search.
Okay.
So, and those we can always, almost always, for those clients, we can almost always account that traffic back to their advertising efforts. So that kind of does do a brand awareness thing. You know, there's a correlation there. But in the case of a viral post, which is more or less the case that you were describing earlier, that may or may not actually create brand awareness. It could just be virality.
Yeah, that's a good point. So maybe less so.
But maybe if you do strong branding on the page, and certainly your pitch, your podcast was listed. So I think, you know, at the end of the day, sure, yeah, it creates brand awareness for you, but that's not necessarily the correlation to the direct traffic.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's my thought. Now, you had something cool to talk about Medium.
Yes. So I recently had a discussion with somebody who is convinced that Medium is where you should go to create your blog following now, because they have a network there to help your content get found. Things like tags, which are limited to 3, help get your content to the right people who may be interested in it, right? And then people recommending stuff in Medium will help your content show up in their friends' feeds. So it's like the social network for blog content.
And let's not forget email outreach, because they email.
Correct.
Every day.
Right? And then if you get, by luck of the draw, get featured by the Medium editorial team, which you have to be a very good writer and really tell a good story on Medium for that to happen, then that's obviously just a bonus. But anyway, this person said that they would recommend, if you were starting from scratch with no following, to create content on Medium, and that would be where your blog lives. And they're allowing, Medium is launching the feature where publishers on Medium can now use their own URL. So you could launch a Medium blog that is at thedavidjohnson.com, for example, if you wanted to. Sure. So that's a cool feature in that you can have that brand awareness, but it would still be in the Medium network, which I think is cool. But my concern and my issue is, obviously, if they decide to change things down the road in such a way that doesn't benefit me as the publisher, I'm screwed, because you can't just move that content and your following to your URL and say, forget you, Medium, I'm done. Like, it's just not.
Yeah, and this is the thing that scares me about this train of thought, is exactly what you're saying. This is rented space. I mean, you may not be paying money for it, but you're paying rent in the form of content.
Yes, and they say you own the content, and you do still technically own it. It's not owned by Medium, but you're growing their platform instead of your own.
Exactly, which is why I'm pretty convinced that anybody trying to grow a following needs to make email capture one of the big, big priorities. And then that way, if you do use Medium or one of these, or even Facebook Notes for that matter, I mean, it's the same idea.
Right.
We're just saying, hey, I'm publishing my content completely on someone else's thing.
Mm-hmm.
Then if you do that, you've got to find a way to get, you know, email capture going on, which means that you're going to have to embed your teaser copy or your sales copy for your email opt-ins right in your content. So it's kind of a native advertising idea, you know,
right?
Like we talked about last week. But if you are, you know, blessed enough to have grown a following somewhere like on Medium, then that's a big deal. I mean, it's happened before. How many of these blog networks have shut down over the years and people's content? It happened on Twitter. Was it TwitPic? Was that the remember before there was a
before
time
you before could you could yeah you had to use TwitPic to get something
you couldn't upload images directly into Twitter,
right? And then Twitter bought TwitPic and integrated the features and that sort of thing.
And then so what was the other one then, because one of them got shut down? I remember when it happened, I got this email that said all your photos are about to disappear.
I don't remember. I believe it or not, I was late to the Twitter game, so.
Oh, that's all right. Forgive me. You know, you've grown a nice following there, so congrats.
Thank you.
Why, for being late, you did all right.
All right.
But yeah, I don't remember which one it was. I think you're right. I think TwitPic was the one that they bought.
Okay. So coming back to the Medium idea, I just found something.
Okay.
That allows me to be encouraged about Medium while still... So I'm still posting my content on my website first.
Yep.
Medium has an import function.
Right.
Where you put in the original URL of something, and I guess it does the proper formatting to make sure that SEO juice and stuff goes to your original content, but then you still get the benefits of obviously using that network to spin off your content. And I know we've talked about it before as being this platform that you can use to, you know, retitle the same content and get it to grow in there. But this whole import functionality where you actually put in an external URL and Medium imports that content, then you edit it and republish it, to me was it, you have to hover over your profile icon and then it's a drop down.
Yep.
You can't go the regular create post route.
No, but it's pretty slick, and it's automated, and you can still edit after it imports.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's pretty slick.
Is it just me that just found out about this?
Yeah. No, I like that. I like that a lot. I'm a big fan of something called the Indie Web, and this takes us into like true nerd territory.
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh yeah, so the Indie Web is a group of people that are kind of hacking the web. They're really trying to work on new things for the web. But they came up with this concept they call Posse, and it's an abbreviation for publish on your own site, syndicate elsewhere, or syndicate everywhere.
Okay, I'm on board with this.
Oh, totally. Publish on your own site, syndicate elsewhere, everywhere. And and what they did with this Posse concept,
Indie,
the Indie Web. If you go, it started with like the Homebrew Website Club. Oh man, this gets into like real geek history.
Uh-huh. Here.
Yeah, but anyway,
we'll have to have an episode on this.
Yeah, they have something called the Indie Web Camp. And the bottom line is that they've created some software that sort of helps with this. And I'm actually using one of the platforms now. It's called Known. You can find it on the web at withknown.com. And Known meaning K-N-O-W-N, like you're known for something.
Mm-hmm. With I'm known. Going to this right now because I'm super interested.
Yeah, and it is open source, so you can download it and run it on your own server, which we have an instance running our own on our own servers. And then I also have one of the sites that you can create there. I wanted to support these people, so I actually destroyed one of my installations and put it on their hosted service. And it's like $10 a month. It's not expensive. But the bottom line is it's like having your own miniature little social network. And it integrates with everything. So I can publish content there and automatically send it to Twitter and automatically send it to Facebook if I want to. Mm-hmm. And LinkedIn. And they have plugins for a few different networks. And then but it literally is my own site.
But it shows up natively in each of these?
Correct.
Or does it link
back?
Like
if you looked at my Twitter stream, you would not know which tweets I put in from the web and which tweets I put in from Known. It literally doesn't distinguish between them.
How have I not heard of this?
Yeah, it's pretty slick. It's really neat stuff. And with Known is just one example. It's actually called Known, but it's withknown.com.
Okay.
They're just one example, and they're a neat startup. They were funded in San Francisco by Matter VC.
That's a new one, actually. I've never heard of that one.
Yeah, neat guys. They're funding a lot. They're actually really interested. Matter is a kind of almost an incubator that works on projects. They sort of specialize in helping startups that are focused on the publishing business, the media, you know, new media type stuff. So anyway, I don't want to get too lost in that. But the Posse concept, which is that I'm always going to own my content. Even if the network tells me I own my content, I actually have the original version of everything that I share if I do this. And I'm not 100% committed to this yet, mind you. But, you know, I've always run my own blogs. We run WordPress. I've got, I lost count, hundreds of WordPress installations that we run.
I can only imagine.
Yeah, but I kind of like Known. It's super simple. and it allows you to publish, and you can do short posts like status updates, or you can do longer blog post type stuff.
So it's kind of like Tumblr, but you own it.
Yep. Exactly. It feels a lot like Tumblr. That's a good comparison.
Very cool.
Yeah, very good stuff.
Interesting.
So anyway, I think we've chased quite a few rabbit trails today. Fun show. We learned some stuff about Medium, learned some stuff about Facebook ads. I think this was a good show. I think we've covered a lot of Google Analytics. We spent some time talking about that.
I think so. I hope so. I don't want to assume, though. So I would say if you're listening to this and you either liked or didn't like what we've talked about today, and seriously, let us know what you didn't like. We would really, really appreciate that. And then maybe what you did like or did learn or want to hear more of. Very obviously, very nerdy stuff that we're talking about here. But it's important. We live in a very nerdy world.
We do. And I think we should ask some specific people. Like, I think we should ask our newest listener, you know, what did she think of today's show?
What did Bree think?
What did Bree think? So Bree, this is your shout out for the show. We're gonna reach out to you on Twitter when the show is published and ask you, what did our newest listener think?
Yeah, sounds great.
All right, fun show today. And we definitely do want to hear from you. You can tweet to us at GTD Show. You can also shoot us an email if you want to, show@growthedream.com. And you can find today's episode along with notes, links, and a place for you to comment on the web at growthedream.com/shows/035. And next week, I think we'll have Josh and Rod, all of us. Woo-hoo. We'll all be here.
All right.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
Thanks for listening to the Grow the Dream Show. We invite you to subscribe and leave us a review on iTunes, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast app. Get connected to our growing community, add your comments, ask questions, and listen to the archives on the web at growthedream.com/show.